Seriously, who's blowing up my phone?
Oh, yeah. Powerball.
Big news. Powerball now draws 3 days a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.
Good morning, Vikings fans. This is Morning Joe's, brought to you by our sponsor, Manscaped. Hit up manscaped.com. Use discount code MORNINGJOES, all one word, and get 20% off your first or next order and free shipping on everything that they have on their website, which is some pretty amazing stuff, especially for those of you out there who light a match after they go to the bathroom, well, one or two. I improv'd that that copy, and I regretted it instantly. I am your host for now, till the powers that be at Manscaped push me out for some suit. Joe Johnson, owner of PurplePTSD.com, VikingsTerritory.com, PurpleTerritoryRadio.com. I'm uncaffeinated, and you would not like me when I'm uncaffeinated. People don't like me when I'm caffeinated, so strap in for that. I'm here, unfortunately for him, with Mr. Joseph Oberle. How you doing, man?
I'm good. There's nothing that gets me more ready for the show than that theme song where they say, "What do you know, Joe?" And I don't know nothing. I mean, we put the bar down so low. I'm ready to go.
You know, I think the Purple PTSD tagline is unfiltered opinions, unrealistic expectations, but it almost was aim low, shoot lower. Which is kind of the story of my life. You know, I was going to say that this might be a shorter show than people are used to, but once you and I get going, who knows what will happen. But you would think that I would be kind of in my element or reveling in the fact that all of these different writers from our national competition, local competition, even the newspaper, writing things that I've essentially been saying for a long time, really hyperbolically negative things. My favorite was just one of the guys from Daily Norseman, who's like a higher up, I guess, who hasn't written it for a while, just came back for his first article in months, and it just said, "Fire everybody, period," was the headline. And I was like, wow, this is really devolving quickly.
Was that Purple Buckeye, or who wrote
I think
that?
It was, I want to say it was Gates, but just, I don't
Christopher
think...
Christopher Gates, yeah, he's the owner. He's it's Fire Everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's sure, because that's like one of the few names I recognize. Because for the longest time, I thought it was a guy that I went to high school with, and I was way off. That was always very awkward at training camp. Anyway, it's a very strange what's going on in Vikings world right now. I think is, especially from the perspective of having the sites doing starting this in 2015, I mean, everything has been on the upswing each season, it seems like, since then, and I've been kind of dreading this disaster
bottoming out.
Yeah, that I didn't necessarily, I mean, I thought it would be rough this season. I didn't think it'd be tear the entire team down, and I think the best way to kind of jump into a lot of that, because there's a lot of rumors flying around and just a bunch of weird stuff, and I'm not very good at Vikings Twitter either, so I get, you know, I try to pay attention to it, but I don't know who people are, whether or not they're credible, unless they have credentials. But there's some people like in the Browns camp that have supposed access that are getting linked, and I don't know. There's a reason I don't spend a lot of time there. I hate it on there. Do you think, what is your opinion on what a rebuild should be, is what I'm trying to get at, is because I'm seeing some people on Vikings social media saying, well, get rid of everybody of value that's over a certain age, you know, and obviously not like Justin Jefferson or something, but, you know, there's people that we associate with MSP Athletics who are on this campaign to get rid of Adam Thielen for some reason. They're convinced they'll get a first-round pick from Cleveland, which I don't think will happen. He's going to be 31 soon. That doesn't make any sense. They'd also have like $31 million tied up in like wide receivers next season. I don't think they would do that either, even though they're the Browns. But Harrison Smith is another one that's evoking a lot of emotion from fans, saying, "Don't, if you get rid of him, I'm done. Get rid of Thielen, I'm done," so on and so forth. And it is there's no perfect way to do it. I don't know. You know, I do think that they need to obviously, they should have committed to a rebuild instead of this retooling or whatever they want to call it. It's like the Ghostbusters movie. It's a reboot. It's like retooling. I don't really know what the answer is, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I like a lot of these guys. I think there's still a lot of gas in the tank for a lot of them, but I'm also unsure of how to move forward.
Well, you know, it's a good question because, it's in front of us and in front of everybody, in front of them right now. I mean, it's obviously happening in some form or fashion. And we went from lightning speed from re-upping the GM, the coach, and the quarterback and the star running back to extensions and major contracts. And boom, suddenly we're looking to divest and fire sale and what have you. But I think this is where those guys get their money. They have to make these decisions. They have to go down and look and evaluate as if they were evaluating you know, who's going to make the team at training camp, and really take it into the boardroom, you know, and look at contracts and money. And I mean, this is probably obvious, but I mean, they have to get down in the weeds here and really make those decisions, because you cannot just fire sale all your players from a team that went to the playoffs last year and won a game, actually. Zimmer's mode is not to get a bunch of rookies and rebuild from the ground up like that. He has always put a premium on having veterans in his locker room that can mentor and teach and teach these guys how to be pros. So there's always got to be a mix, and you have to have that with every team. Unfortunately, the money right now is in a weird place. They're struggling, they're going to be struggling with the cap next year. Everybody says it's going to be down. Cap's going to be down because there's nobody in the stands this year. So, you know, whatever plans they had are already going to be scuttled. You have to start doing some of this pairing that they've already done. And, you know, Ngakoue was the first one, and certainly more coming. I've heard, you know, you hear these rumors. I'm a Minnesota guy, born and bred, so I don't want him to get rid of Thielen. I love Harrison Smith because of his attitude, and you know, he's 30 or 31. He's still got 31. Plenty in the tank.
He just turned 31, though.
He's got plenty in the tank. He's not one I would say Rudy is probably one to go on. His contract is going to be threatened. They can get out of that one way or the other. He might just be let go because Irv Smith is starting to come on, and they'll have to draft another up and coming tight end next year. You sent over to me a number of people on this list, and certainly Reef is one of those. Who knows how Barr is going to come back from his deal, and he was re-upped recently. That he's one that's on a potential on the chopping block, but you can't really trade damaged goods at the moment. You're not going to get what you'd want for him. You'd like to see him back on the field, but you know, maybe, you know, the whole thing about Harrison Smith's, you know, I think you wrote about, or somebody on our site wrote about, that he got off of social media with the Vikings.
I don't think I've ever been as murdered for writing something as that story. And I will, you know, we talk about this a lot. We've mentioned it on the show, but it's a kind of a behind the scenes thing. Most people, especially ones that angrily comment on things on social media, read the headline and already have either a conclusion in their mind, or they make a conclusion at that point, and they don't read the story. So the story was me, basically how I prefaced the show. I was sitting on the sidelines of Vikings Twitter trying to figure out whether or not Harrison Smith even followed the Vikings in the first place. Some people said he did, some people said he didn't. It was like a 2-day thing. And then I basically wrote in the intro that I came to the conclusion that it doesn't matter whether or not he did or he didn't. What matters is whether or not I believe that the team handled this the correct way, in leaking to Jason Lockenforo that they're very open to trading him, which I think from a semantic standpoint is just disrespectful. You know, I don't think you can leak that maybe to teams if you want to drum up interest, but to say, oh yeah, we're very open to getting rid of this guy. That's, you know, he's been here his entire career. It wouldn't surprise me if it rubbed him the wrong way. And I don't think that that's the best way to handle this, but then again, what do I know? And so that was the point of the story. I mean, most of my stories are me reacting to news or fan reaction to news and kind of creating a story through that, you know, and that was the point. It wasn't that I conclusively agreed that he had or hadn't done it. I mean, personally, I don't think he did, because he doesn't seem like the type of guy that even goes on social media, you know. It just doesn't seem like his speed or his style.
He does, though, Joe. I recently talked to a fellow writer friend of mine who said, oh, God, Harrison Smith is following me. And that happened this summer. So,
okay,
you know, maybe.
So some people see the thing. That's the thing. So some people said he's not very active. Then some people said, he is. And he's conclusively, I know he followed the Vikings because I followed him for years. And I did a thing last season on what players followed the Vikings and which ones didn't. He did. So I linked that in the article, too. He also followed other Minnesota pro sports teams, just not the Vikings, which would seem strange. And so, but then again, the long and short of it is, whether or not that matters is not as important. Although it is a weird, like, harbinger of things in the NFL. I mean, that's how many times have we heard that this guy stopped following the team, they trade him, or he's unhappy or whatever. So there, it's not just like some small thing. I think it seems like a mountain out of a molehill. But the point was to me that does he have a right to be upset about how things are progressing? Yes. Should we trade him? I don't think so.
You know, this summer, this season, I should say, I've heard some broadcasters talk about, they kind of asked him to step up and be more vocal, you know, with this young secondary that they've got, you know. Now that may just be something in passing, or it could be something that they told their broadcasters, because, you know, they lost all those guys back there. Now they got all these young cornerbacks and they need somebody to run the show back there. And so they've asked him to be more vocal. Now, if this trade stuff what you said about Lock and Four is true and everything, that does seem like a slap in the face after them telling you to step up. Well, I guess that, you know what, we got to send you packing. You know, I would be pissed too. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I wouldn't want Harry pissed at me at all. I've seen him in action.
I've told you the story before, and I believe I said this on the show before years ago, but I was a security guard at a condo downtown twice in college, and then also after I lost my corporate sales gig after college and went regressed into past glories of being a security guard at a condo downtown. And there was somebody that was affiliated with the team lived in the building. And sometimes there'd be players there. Kevin Love lived across the street. He'd always park his car at our guest parking, and I'd tell him not to walk down the ramp to get it, and then he'd yell at me, and it was always strange because I'm like, dude, I like you, but you're such a prick to me. And Harrison Smith was there a couple times, and one night he came out and this is when he was very young, new to the team, and he was significantly drunk, and he was kind of stumbling, and he knocked over one of the potted plants in the lobby, and so I was trying to help him get into a cab, and he, at the very last second, I said something to him that rubbed him the wrong way, even though it wasn't like, I was being super nice to him, and he said, shut up, you effing nerd. And I remember thinking, oh man, no. He was like my favorite guy at the time, and it was just, it cut me emotionally. But he's a very intimidating guy. I mean,
yes, he's intense.
Just in every, he's very old school, and the reason I bring all of that up is because I think that my line in the sand for getting rid of some of these older guys, there's two parts to it. First being, are they a leader on this team? As we all know, he is. Adam Thielen is. There's an article this week about how he's reveling his job as being a mentor and a coach to these young guys. And B, do they play a style of football that can sustain for another half decade if they're 30, 31 years old? I would argue that Harrison Smith plays he seems like the type of guy that'll still be really effective at 36 to me if he wants to play that long. Adam Thielen, his game has never really been predicated on speed, more on technique. And I could see him being effective for a very long time, like Jerry Rice was, because he's just such a student of the game, and he works so hard, and he wants to improve his game every season.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. They all lost a step, obviously. Thielen has yet to lose a step, but he's never been a burner. He's just got a huge catch radius, and he runs immaculate routes. That's not going to change. That could almost get better with time. As he, you know, learns more tricks for his little quiver. So that's where I'm at with that. Also, if it comes down to Harrison Smith or Anthony Harris, one's franchise tagged. The other one obviously is going to need a contract extension at some point. But I would move on from Anthony
year.
Harris, not him.
Yeah, I think.
For me,
Harrison Smith, you know, as far as attitude, his rookie year when I was at training camp, and Percy Harvin came through the line and he stood him up. You know, and this is training camp and this is practice, and Percy took umbrage at it, and they kind of started going at it right on the field there, and we all surrounded Smith afterwards, and he didn't think twice about it. He goes, oh, gotta hit the guy, what are you gonna do?
That must have sent like shockwaves through too, because I mean, Percy was short, but he was kind of a bowling ball type guy.
Oh yeah, he was tough. Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, he could have, you know, Harrison could have, you know, it could have been one of those things where, you know, okay, he's made it through the line. It's, you know, we're not going to beat up our own guys, but he came right up the gut and stood him up, you know, just into the second tier there. And boy, yeah, it was not, Percy was not happy. It was quite interesting. So
it's like
from that point on, I knew Harrison was bad.
Yeah. He's just a kind of a quiet sort of,
awesome.
He reminds me of like, Clint Eastwood, in a way, for some reason, like a young Clint Eastwood, not the talking to an empty chair Clint Eastwood. But yeah, I mean, there's also the fact that, you know, I've been looking at, you know, why Xavier Rhodes was AFC Defensive Player of the Week and why he's having a renaissance in Indy, and how that applies to the Vikings, and essentially they simplified his job and made everyone else's job a little bit harder around him. It's not so much of he's not doing one-on-one stuff on an island. He's got safety support, and that's been the way the Vikings have been playing all season anyway. I mean, these corners had help from everybody, but especially from the safeties, and that's not going to go away. You know, it's going to still take these guys a while. And I get that there is some value in being as bad as possible but that also has to be a very short amount of time. That's what people don't understand. You want to be bad enough to get a good draft pick, hopefully when it syncs up with history and you can land somebody. But you don't want to be bad for 5-6 years. And if they just get rid of everybody, they're going to have a ton of dead cap space, first of all. That they're going to be working through forever, and they're good. We're just spoiled as Vikings fans of thinking, okay, we'll be bad for a year or two, and then we're going to be really good again. But they don't look into why that happens. I mean, we were 3-13. Zimmer takes over, but we still already had Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith, a lot of guys to build around, and we can still do that same thing. You just have to identify which guys are worth keeping. Because you can't replace them all, and I really, to be completely honest with you, I don't want – because I know even if Zimmer gets fired, which is becoming a stronger and stronger possibility, Spielman's not going anywhere. And the more needs he has, the more he's going to want to trade down and amass all these late-round picks that never turn into anything of value. And so I just want to, you know – not paint with such a broad brush here. And I know that we're not speaking for the team. I'm just more talking about where the fan sentiment is right now. It's just a very strange, you know, I've never dealt with this before from a writer's perspective. And the traffic's been great. People are pissed off and so on and so forth. But I do want to make one quick point because I wrote an article. I will say Cousins is having a bad year, a horrible year. And I'm not going to say otherwise, but I've noticed that people who clearly never wanted Cousins here in the first place, who bashed him the entire time last season, when I wrote an article a week responding to different narratives I was seeing about Cousins, as he'd beat one, well, he can't, you know, put the team on his shoulders or come from behind, then the Denver game happens, well, then he doesn't win in primetime, but well, his primetime numbers are better than his regular, well, then he doesn't win a playoff game, then he wins a playoff game, well, he hasn't gotten us to the Super Bowl, that sort of thing. I wrote an article about the revisionist history of Cousins, and everyone's basically saying Cousins, this is all Cousins' fault. The entire 2018-2019, the not getting to the Super Bowl, that's too big of a thing to tackle. But the main point that I wanted to bring up was that Cousins' contract killed this team. That's not yep. the – you know, I would agree the extension was a gigantic mistake. I didn't agree with it at the time. I didn't understand why they were doing it because I knew they were going to be bad. No one else did, present company excluded, but everyone else thought they'd be 12-4. I'm saying they're going to – the defense is going to be bad. It's going to take them a couple of years to rebuild. Why keep Cousins at $45 million, especially with COVID reducing the salary cap to $175 million? That makes no sense. Cousins' contract – they went all in for Cousins for those 2 years. Nothing that happened with Cousins' deal stopped them from doing anything. They never had to cut one of these guys. At the time, before they signed Cousins, there was this so-called Faustian thing that was like, do you want to – if you sign Cousins, you're going to have to immediately cut Anthony Barr, Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, or Eric Kendricks. Which one is it? And all those guys were still on the team after 2019. They signed Sheldon Richardson after they signed Cousins. It's not as if they were cash strapped. Cousins is making $21 million this season. His salary, he's way below market rate for a starting quarterback right now. And we're still broke. Is his extension a mistake? Yes. Is he playing bad? Yes. Yeah. But the reason that they're having salary cap issues is not because of that deal. And it just bothers me.
Well, you don't think that affects it because maybe this isn't this now where all these this Faustian bargain comes in is where, you know, you said they're going to be dead cap money strapped when they start pitching, getting rid of these guys. It's because they've been kicking the can down the road for a number of years.
Sure, and but I mean more
part of that is Cousins' fault because they've signed him to you know, guaranteed money and big money. He was the richest paid quarterback when he signed with the Vikings for about a week. And so, you know. They had renegotiated. They had to kick some of his money down the road too. So I mean, I think it's all part of it.
Well, sure it is, but I mean, in the context of his contract limiting the 2018 or 2019 teams, and it didn't. They didn't cut anybody. They signed Sheldon Richardson. That's what I mean. Is it going to be a nightmare next season, the season after? Yes. Even without the COVID cap thing, it would have been bad. You know, I've said this.
So they went all in on 18-19. You know, won a playoff game, beat the Saints, and got their hats handed to them by the 49ers. So you know, all of a sudden, boom! Next year, now we got to pay the piper, and that's exactly what we're seeing. They started pitching. You know, the reason all those defensive backs left is because they knew they couldn't get paid. There was no room to pay them, and that's what they probably told them, go find somebody else. So I can't say that I'll agree with you. None of those guys were lost for when they went all in last year, but, you know, they're all gone now. Diggs is gone, you know, the Xavier Rhodes, and Trey Waynes, and McKenzie. All these guys are gone, and the defense has been gutted, and they still haven't been able to.
And they still have no cap space, though, is the point. Yeah. And Cousins is only making $21 million this year, but they're still broke, which tells you there's other things going on. I don't really I don't know why their cap is so bad still. I mean, I thought that after they got rid of Linval and – I mean, a lot of those guys were going to be extended, so or were up, you know, obviously for free agency. So it's not as if their you know, their cap hit was off the books after last season. But I don't really – I mean, you have Riley Reiff, I suppose. You have Thielen. You have Kendricks. You have Barr. You have Rudolph.
And you got Hunter. Hunter's crabbing for a new deal.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with – you know, Anthony Harris is making, I think, the biggest base salary on the team. Yeah, which is surprising. His base salary is 11.6 or 11.4, but that's franchise stuff. Cousins is 9.5. He has a prorated bonus of 11.5. Blah blah blah. Cousins' guaranteed salary this season is 9.5, but his cap number is 21, which is the most.
They just signed.
Adam Thielen is the second.
They signed Brett Jones back to the practice squad. There was a demotion, I suspect, or a money-saving move. They cut him and re-signed him. to the practice squad. So, and that's not anything that's going to make everybody jump up and down. But you know, you need some depth in your offensive line, no matter how bad it is.
I don't get why they don't like what the story is with him. I woke up at like
probably not fast enough.
Yeah, I woke up at like 3, and then I remembered that I wanted to write a story about Brett Jones and how his story kind of equates to the larger offensive line philosophy. And it's just, you know, obviously he's a guy who can play multiple positions, but I always figured he would get a shot, especially last season with how bad things were. I mean, things were worse in 2018 at the guard spots, I guess, but I'm surprised that he's never gotten a more of a shot. To fill in, I guess. I don't know. I mean, in terms of that though, Riley Reiff, I mean, I think he's, you know, gotten kind of a rough shake from Vikings fans, but
yep, I would agree. He's not been terrible.
You might as well see what Ezra Cleveland's going to do, and I'd prefer to get him at the left tackle spot before they ruin him by doing more of this guard nonsense with him. Also, I would prefer that they, with the high draft pick that they get next year, that it depends on who it'd be, but I wouldn't be too enamored with the left tackle with one of those picks. I really think they need
you
to
would or you it. Wouldn't
it, I mean it, I you know me, I'm a kind of a flashy guy. I used to drive a Fiero in high school, so that means I'm...
say no more.
I am always a sucker for, especially with a high pick, you want the sexy pick, right? Like a quarterback or a,
yep,
you know, Rashad Bateman, even though you wouldn't use a top five pick on him. But you
know. I'm ready for that supposed blue chip quarterback that can move in the pocket and get out and do some things and already understands the game, is ready to go. And I, you know, after all these years of, you know, trying to find and rebuild with, or not rebuild, but you know, plug and play with that quarterback from around the league that's never really, you know, as much as you like Cousins and everything else, Cousins is fine, but he's only fine as far as I'm concerned. I don't see him ever taking you much farther than he's already taken him, because, you know, especially with unless everything is perfect, we've said many times, it's got to be perfect around him, and that's not the way the NFL works. You got to have a quarterback that can put the team on his back and carry him. And he's done it from time to time, but not in week-to-week fashion, you know, that you can see just across the border happening with Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. You know, he's not that guy. And so I want to Pat Mahomes. I want a Kyler Murray. I want, you know, someone like that. I mean, I love watching Kyler Murray. I went to the preseason game that he had last year up here, and that's how I spent my time watching him. And I said, oh my God, this kid's going to be good. And, you know, and I've been enjoying watching him this year because I drafted him in fantasy and has been paying off for me. So that's what I want. I don't know if that's out there. I don't know if that's only Trevor Lawrence, and I'm sure the Vikings won't get, but, I would love,
everyone likes like, what's his face, right? The North Dakota kid,
Carson Wentz. What are you talking about?
The new one.
Oh, there's a new one up there. I don't know.
I always think Troy Dye because I'm an idiot. And Trey Lance.
Oh.
Yeah, North Dakota State. Well, everyone's saying he's he played one game this fall and then is basically done and just wants to be in the draft next year. And everyone's saying, he's the next Carson Wentz.
Really?
He's, I think, I don't, you know, obviously I don't pay.
Ask the Eagles how that's working out.
I know. What a weird, you know, fall from grace for him, because he started out so hot, and then, you know, yeah, those injuries. But yeah, he's a Bison.
Yeah,
that would be huge.
Yeah,
I mean, from a fan perspective.
Isn't he playing against Division One A or whatever? He's not. North Dakota is? Are they? Aren't they Division One A, not Division One football?
Yeah, I think so. Like, like
not
T-Tac
playing the Saints. Yes. Yep.
One Double A, I think, was T-Jack's thing, but yeah, that's part of it. I you know, there was an article on Purple PTSD about him being a better fit for the Vikings than perhaps Lawrence would be. He's 6'4", he's 227. He's from Marshall, Minnesota.
Well, what's that fit going to be? Anybody that talks about a fit for the Vikings right now, I have to question that, because who knows what it's going to be? Who knows if this coaching staff's going to be intact?
That's
who
a
knows
very
what,
good point.
What they're going to do. I don't know what a good fit for the Vikings is if they're going to rebuild their squad, which it sure seems like they're trying to do. You know, I mean, if Zimmer stays, we know what the defense is going to be like, but who knows if, what the offense is going to look like in years. I don't know. I mean, that's a hard thing to say.
So they won the, confusing to me. They won the 2020 NCAA Division I football championship game. He was the MVP, but you would think that Division I implies like the Big Ten and the SEC.
Right.
It doesn't, obviously. Division I, oh, it says, okay, I get it. The logo doesn't show it, but it says subdivision. Interesting. I got to learn more about this dude, full disclosure. We're going to be starting a Gophers site here in the next couple months, and I need to get back in. I've been so laser focused on Viking stuff. I've neglected my T-Wolves, which were at one point up there with the Vikings for me in terms of how much I loved going to games and watching NBA Fast Break every night. Were you still working there in 2003?
No, I left in 2000, 1994 to 2000.
That was like the greatest year ever.
Yeah, I have
such positive memories of that time. They were so close. If only Cassell hadn't done that big balls dance after he hit that shot. He literally threw his back out doing that dance, and they still took the Lakers to six games with KG playing point guard half the time, which is a testament to how good KG was, 7 foot tall point guard. But I don't even know how we got here. It's just an interesting set of circumstances with the team. And I wonder, what is your thought? I haven't really gotten your take on how do you think Zimmer's safe for next season, and then they would make a move if there weren't some sort of improvements? Or
yes, I do, because like I said earlier, I mean, you just signed him to a new contract, and who do you want to rebuild the defense, Zimmer or somebody else? You know, I think he's the kind of guy that can, you know, he's a good guy for coaching people. Maybe it's just to his system, and that's a problem. But I think he's the guy you want in place. He's certainly going to finish out the year. I said that. It depends on what they're going to do. I don't see the new hot coach out there for them. I said this last week. Kevin Stefanski went to Cleveland, so that's the last new young guy that
appears to be working out pretty well for them so far.
Dang right it is. And just like when Dungy went to a different team and won a Super Bowl, and Billick went to a different team and won a Super Bowl, Mike Tomlin. It's like now the next one is going to be Stefanski. He's going to win one for Cleveland. Oh my goodness. Anyway,
if he wins one for Cleveland, because I never thought they'd win one, and I never think
exactly.
We're going to win one. So,
I think so, Joe. I think they're probably put their plan in front of their owners already, and they seem to start to be they're executing it first with Yannick Ngakoue and rumors more to come. And I mean, you know, maybe Hunter is a good guy to deal right now if he's going to be, you know, if you're going to lose him to free agency or he's going to sit out or whatever the hell he's going to do after he comes back from his neck injury. And by the way, he did have surgery today on his neck, and it went well, of course, but Zimmer was kind of petulant and ticked off when he talked to the media about it. He started out his press thing by complaining that when you guys all gave me this crap about his tweak, and he said how it was a tweak at the time. Apparently he woke up and slept on it wrong and thought he tweaked his neck. And then later they did an MRI and found out that there was a herniated disc there. So Zimmer was pretty a little bit upset with the media for the and this is his words, the crap they've given him about that. So it was kind of interesting this morning. He was not in a great mood. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe this is not what he wanted to be doing right now. They were close last year, but they found out how far away they were. And he's taken them to the brink a couple times. And now, you know, now he's got to. He's got to start over, kind of, and I'm sure a coach of his age, that doesn't make anybody happy. So yeah. That's a roundabout way to answer your question. Yeah, I think he'll be there, but but who knows? You know, who knows? You know, if there was some guy out there that you wanted to start courting and to lure away, then maybe I could see it. But you know, I just don't know who that is right now.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's always outside elements, I think, that influence this. You know, if other teams, if there's a huge rush of head coaches getting fired, maybe the Vikings would want to do that because if there's a coach in mind that they really have their eye on, so on and so forth. But, you know, all this talk of either firing him now or trading him, which I wrote an article about as well, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't think his trade value is very high. A lot of people are
trading Zimmer.
Yes, and people are talking about trading him to Dallas because of his connections there with Jerry Jones, and it's like, you know, Dallas is bad. They're going to be bad for a while. You know, usually the NFL isn't a very trade-happy league. It seems to be getting more and more so more of a trade league than it used to be, especially. But usually, still in the NFL, a trade is something that happens out of desperation. Maybe a contender loses a piece to injury and they want to replace it, a la the Browns and Odell Beckham Jr., or the Titans and that Trevor Taylor Lewan guy from their left tackle, maybe Riley Reiff there. But there's usually not the impetus to trade for a coach because when you get a new head coach, obviously they bring in a completely different sort of infrastructure, right? So their guys, they got to do this. It affects everything. And getting a guy mid-season, you can't really implement that plan, and it doesn't make any sense. So there's not a lot of fire to that smoke.
Trade him to Cleveland and get Stefanski back.
Oh, I would do it. I'll be honest. I thought that was a really strange move for Cleveland. I didn't think that Stefanski had done much here as the offensive coordinator, and I guess shows what I know. But then again, when you compare the offense last season to the offense this season, outside of a couple spurts, maybe he did have a pretty positive effect on things. But it's 2020. The Browns are way better than the Vikings. That's another sign of the apocalypse. It's been a weird time. So yeah, everyone should just stay tuned to the sites because it's really hard. Again, I'm trying my best to delve through what's rumor and what's not, and I sound like such an old curmudgeon now. It's like I don't know how Twitter works. I mean, just, you know, I'm not complaining. I love covering the Vikings for quote unquote a living. It's just sometimes it feels a little thankless, or you know, there's just a lot of I think people that think, especially on social media, I want to say this very delicately, that think they can do your job better than you do, but they don't really have the general idea as to what it takes to do it day in and day out for years and where to get stories from, especially at times like this where there's just news flying around and now there's guys who claim to have sources who apparently are just like in a boy band in Cleveland, stuff like that. It's just it's a weird dynamic. And so I mostly stay off of social media. I used to be really heavy into like Reddit and our Facebook, but you're just going to end up looking like the guy that's, you know, shouting at people who support your website because they don't read your articles the right way. And that's, no one wants that brand. I guess. So that's part of the reason I don't go on there anymore anyway. But yeah, it's interesting. The Packers game, I think Dustin Baker, who writes for us and also does the podcast with Brian McKinney, which is the reason he was on the 3D with Bobby show last week, wrote an article about the Packers game being a locker room referendum. And I could not agree more. I think there's
What does that mean?
Well, just seeing where the team is at in terms of efforts and maybe buying what Zimmer's selling. You know, there's been some interesting, I'd say weeks one and two, and then the Falcons game all seemed like the team. And I know you're not big on this because you mentioned it last week, but, you know, didn't seem prepared or up for the game or something. And so I think seeing where the commitment level is at, the hustle from the veterans, so on and so forth. I mean, there's still a lot of also things I think we can get from watching these games. I don't think it's completely pointless, as some have said it
no.
is. But who knows? I mean, Zimmer's style has always been a little abrasive. He's had issues with some of his veterans not liking the way that he's spoken about them in the media, so on and so forth. But those were at the best of times. So I'm really hoping that this doesn't devolve into some sort of, you know, what we almost had last week or last season after the week four Bears game, where there seemed to be a couple guys on the offense not mad at Zimmer, but more at Cousins and things devolving that way.
Yeah, that's no fun to watch. I think players are going to start, if they haven't already, they better start recognizing soon they're playing for their jobs. And I don't know, you know, I certainly think that Harrison Smith is a professional, and he will, you know, especially against the Packers, he will come out and play on Sunday. And they all will. They all like to beat the Packers and Rodgers anytime they get a chance to line up against them. But I think it's going to be hard to do if they're going to start floating things in the media, if that's true, that's what they're doing. They're shopping them around and they're saying it. But then again, you want to be put your best foot forward there if you're on the trading block as well. So I guess, I don't know. It's a strange deal. It was last week against the Falcons was so dispiriting. And you know, they weren't ready to play. We'll find out this week when they play the Packers, who rebounded from a very tough loss to go back to where they were the first, you know, four games of the season. So they looked really good, and they'll be coming in, you know, they'll be in Lambeau, and the Vikings are going to limp in there and figure out, you know, if they want to stay or play or what the heck they want to do. So this will be a telling game. I foresee another, early lead for the Packers, and the Vikings maybe making some hay in garbage time again, which they seem to be doing quite a bit this season. And I think they're going to have their hats handed to them again. The Packers looked really good last weekend. Who did they play? They beat them. Oh, Texas, which is not a very good team, but they got healthy again. They got Devontae Adams back, and who looked really strong, and the passing game was in great shape. I think you're going to find more of the same, because the Vikings didn't improve themselves personnel-wise over the bye. In fact, they went backwards. And now Rodgers is going to recognize it. Not only is there no Hunter, there's no Ngakoue chasing him.
Yeah, know. And he didn't really chase him week one because he was still, you know, not in great game shape.
Correct, correct.
So, and look what Rodgers did with no pressure. And now there's, I mean, you have nothing. I don't know
their backs are beat up. Their defensive backs. Yeah. They got three guys that are hurt, and they asked Zimmer today if that was going to happen. And he said, well, we'll have to wait and see who shows up at practice, you know, cause he's got Hill, Hughes and Boyd are all hurt or all injured. So we got to look at that. And they brought in a couple new cornerbacks it could be a big time mess. I have a feeling that Joe, you're going to pick about 50 points for the Packers.
Yeah, I could see it. It is hard though, because like you said, there is, that was a weird sound. There is a lot of it, more so than other teams, historically for the Vikings or in the NFL in general, they do all salvage some points in garbage time, I think disproportionate to what is normal. And so it's hard to really say what a blowout would be or what the final score would be. I'm hoping for as much garbage time as possible, because I did make that trade for Dalvin Cook in the fantasy league that we did. but I only gave up Joe Mixon, which and Calvin.
Oh Ridley, God, I would having do that.
A big season, but outside of that, I'll take it. Yeah, I could see. I think it. 38 to 20. I would say 38 to 24 Vikings or Packers rather. I think that, you know, there's an article I think in the Strib today. I could be wrong. Basically saying while the matchup isn't marquee, the wide receiver play will be for both teams, and you know it's still fun to see Justin Jefferson and kind of get excited about their prospects. Because if you think about it, I mean honestly, there's a lot of pieces on this Vikings offense that are worth building around. I think that if they get an offensive-minded head coach, someone from this new class that, you know, Bryant McKinney was on, as I mentioned a couple times on our the other podcast I do, 3 Deep with Wobby, Friday night, and he talked about this seismic change in the NFL in terms of how, even from when he retired, how different things are in every single way, just how players interact with fans, with social media, interact with coaches, but also this new wave of coaches and a new way of thinking in the NFL that's kind of changing the guard a little bit. And it would be nice maybe for the Vikings to, you know, take advantage of that. It feels maybe like, I don't know, I didn't get the sense that Stefanski was really one of those guys because he seemed to be kind of, I don't know, but when you have Zimmer as your head coach, I don't think he's really the best guy to foster that sort of change.
He's old school.
Yeah, he's most of his wet dreams are about it being the Parcells era still. I don't know who's out there, so on and so forth. But I do think they're, you know, again, there are good pieces on this team, especially on offense. There's some value in not tearing all of it down. So we'll see more of that on Sunday.
Well, I didn't give my numbers yet, but I should say that I got most of the points that were available last week. There was 10 between us, and I got 6 of them. So I'm up by 21 points right now on our season-long tally. And I got the Packers winning this one 31-20. So there's some points to be made there too. So if they go nuts and go wild, it'll be good for you. But you know, something tells me that maybe they won't allow so much garbage time. I think they'll probably try to do the same thing where the Vikings had the ball for 18 minutes in that game last time. Time of possession is terrible, so you might see more of that.
Yeah, it's really too bad. Also, I mean, not that they would have the salary cap to do anything about it, but it feels like to me that there's more of this fire sale situation going on this season than most seasons. Like, the Cowboys are apparently either going to cut or trade away most of their guys on defense. Their defense is terrible, so there's no value there. Everyone's advocating for the Patriots to do something similar, you know, so on and so forth. And so if the Vikings had ended up being good, maybe they could have, you know, added a piece or two like the Ravens did. I will say people should check out either the article I wrote about McKinney being on the show or minute 29 of 3 Deep with Wobby, because I finally got somebody from that era to bash Red McCombs, which has been my lifelong goal. That's the reason I started this entire website. And Joe, you were there when I asked Tice the question the first time, and being the nice guy that he is, that's the only question that he dodged, I will say.
Right.
McKinney is also a super nice guy, but he added some depth and info to it, and I basically, you know, I asked him if it was frustrating. He's like, yeah, we were like the number one or number two offense like 2-3 years in a row, but then, you know, our defense was 31st, and I said, yeah, it was very frustrating just for fans. I can't imagine how frustrating it was for you guys. I said, you know, just he was so far under the salary cap. It's just, he was so cheap. And he goes, McKinney goes, hello. I held out under McCombs for 98 days. And it was just really funny because he's just like, yeah.
Wow.
If anyone knows how cheap he was, I'm sure it was you. You had to hold out for a third of the year to get paid.
He was overweight. True. Yeah,
I didn't want to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's what the excuse they put on it anyway. So, But yeah, he was holding out. Yeah, that was bad because they really needed him, and that kind of hurt that team for sure.
Yeah. So tonight we have Matt Burke from that era. And apparently Mike Tice is going to call in and surprise him. What was that show back in the 70s? This Is Your Life? Was that it? Where people
that
would
is.
Be like, do you yep. recognize his voice? And it's like, it's your third grade teacher or whatever. That's the vibe I'm going for. Man, I am getting old. Anyway.
Oh, I can read you my...
trying to find a segue somewhere in there towards your baiku. You read yours. I said I had freestyle one, and I have to just double count.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, dovetailing off the next game. But Vike bye week madness flows like a broken down dam. Rebuild fast. Pack looms.
Ooh. Oh, my.
So, you know, no matter how bad they are, I still want the Vikings to beat the Packers somehow. I don't see it happening, though, unfortunately. It's heartbreaking to pick against the Vikings when the Packers are in the coming down the road.
I've always said, you know, when things are bad, if we can go 2-14, I'll be happy with it. Man, haikus are hard. Vikings Packers 2.
Yes.
How did the Vikings lose the bye? I hate football now. That's a good one. When does hockey start? That's better.
There you go. Yeah.
Vikings Packers 2. How did the Vikings lose the bye? When does hockey start? Boom. I still got it.
Freestyling.
That post-COVID brain fog has not gotten me yet.
There we go.
Also, how do you gain weight when you have COVID? That's a question I have for myself. Well, that's a good place to leave it. I want everyone to keep an eye on both VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com for all of your Vikings trade deadline shenanigans. Trade deadline, I believe, is next Tuesday, November 3rd. Hopefully people will still care after that. I'm wondering if we're going to hit a wall. I'm worried that some people might just completely tune the team out if they move on. I can't imagine they would trade Thielen, though, right? I mean, we talked about it, but what percent chance would you give that as of the...
Yeah. It depends on his cap numbers, you know? He's 30,
yeah.
Right? Or... And, you know, his skills could start to deteriorate. If he loses a step, that is going to hurt him a little. He's still fast. He's like you. I like the way you drew it up that, you know, that's not, you know, what his total value to the team is. But, you know, you got Justin
in the league this season.
The what? He's
second
the what?
Second highest paid guy on the team.
Well,
this season.
There you go. That's why he's, you know, could be a casualty just because of that. But you got Justin Jefferson taking over as the number one. That will happen as this year proceeds and you know, we move on. And you can always find a wide receiver for a heck of a lot cheaper. So, you know, he may be one of those guys to be considered. But, you know, if he's paid that much, that's a heck of a contract to pick up too. So who knows?
Maybe they could trade with the Saints and get Michael Thomas.
That headache?
He's
turning into.
I know. It's really disappointing. Punching teammates and stuff. Although, to be fair, KG punched Rick Rickert in the face once, and that's one of my favorite stories ever. Because I was not a huge
fan
of Rick Rickert. Everyone told
him,
don't declare for the draft. And then the team like basically used a second round pick on him out of pity, and then he got punched in the face. He was rude to me once at a bar, and I asked him how KG's fist tasted, and he got really mad at me. It was I have all these really horrible stories about my run-ins with sports people when I was younger. I was quite the pleasant lad. As people have realized through this show, I do want to remind everyone to please check out manscaped.com. No Shave November is days away, so if you use free shipping, overnight shipping, you can still prep. Our discount code is Morning Joes, MORNING. There's the brain fog. Joes, all one word. Free shipping, 20% off. They got all sorts of stuff. Perfumes and deodorants and underwears and a lot of just manscaping type stuff, as you would expect. We will be back next week, Wednesday, at 9:30 in the morning, I believe. I'm hoping more people start listening live. I want to start doing more live stuff. Since I can't get on the radio in the Twin Cities metro area, I'm just going to create a daily radio show, I believe, is my next big initiative. Stay tuned for our Minnesota Wild website that is being built as we speak. That's miniice.com. It'll be ready by the time the season starts for sure, but should be ready in the next week or two. We're building that with Seth Tupel, who I do the scoop with on KLGR Radio, a guy named Jake, who you used to write for The Athletic. Tyler Hagg has joined us again. He was our video show sort of podcast director a little over a year ago. He was on the Bleeding Purple podcast, did a show with us, Hot Dish in the Fridge, which is a video show. He's going to be cranking out a new episode of that this week and a new article a week. And we're also working with Vike Central that's on Twitter to get maybe some scoops there, some verified scoops, wink, wink, if Twitter people know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so there's lots of cool stuff going on, despite the fact that the team's an abject nightmare. Outside of that, thanks, Joe, for being flexible and
you got it.
Doing the afternoon show, and we'll see everyone next week. Skol?
Seriously, who's blowing up my phone?
Oh, yeah. Powerball.
Big news. Powerball now draws 3 days a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.
Me, 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 but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film. Powder donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh, man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.